until we get to, we got the blue light. It's blue light mean on, right?
No, green light's on.
Green light? Okay. Blue light's 5 minutes? Okay, well, we got, oh, there it is. Ooh, there it is. So we're welcome for those that are logging on through our website. We want to welcome you to Glory to the Nations, or GTTN. I got Pastor Sam to my right and Pastor Tim to my left. And we are going to continue with the flow that we feel that God is really speaking to us about. And it really comes down to where we feel that it's time for the world, I want to say the world, to wake up and understand what our purpose is and why we're even here on this earth. Most people think that we are here just to try to survive, have a family,
make
money or what have you, try to create some kind of career, and then we die. But the reality is...
And create an identity.
Yeah. But the reality is we're here to divide the soul and spirit. Basically, deny the soul and kill the soul.
Live in spirit.
And then resurrect and live the spirit. There are a lot of different religions out there, and they all are leaning towards the same thing, you know. But the concept, the truth is that there is a spirit and a soul. Now, you can call the spirit anything you want. Christianity calls it Christ, and we'll focus on the Christians today. And, you know, we're living in I want to say, I'm not going to say the last days, but we're living in an age where things are changing. Just like we had different ages growing up throughout history. You had the Ice Age. You had the Neanderthal Age. You had the Medieval Age. You had all these different ages. You even had the Cowboys and Indian Age. I love that age. And then you had, now you're at a new age. And, you know, God has always done something in the midst of our generations. And we're in a new generation. And I feel personally believe that he had enough with the deception that is out there robbing and stealing from the people he loves. And I feel that God loves everybody. Problem is there's so much deception, and we tend to forget from the very roots of creation we're in a spiritual world where there are dark forces and light forces, and it seems like we tend to forget that. We become carnally minded, naturally minded, and we take everything as spiritual, as a fairy tale.
We become consumed with self.
Well, it's
all you see.
Well, you take the natural.
Yep.
And you're so
consumed.
Yeah, with the natural thought.
Pay your bills, get your car, your job.
The only time that people really look at the spiritual part of it is when they're watching movies.
Yep.
Let's watch a horror, and we'll see some spooks. You know, we'll see some zombies. We'll see some, ghosts. We'll see, you know, that. But when the movie's done, they take it as those things don't exist anymore. When the reality is, they're all over the place. Darkness is everywhere, and light is everywhere. And this has been going on since the creation of Earth, creation of the world. And we tend to forget about the spiritual world. And, you know, we're all going to leave this earthly body. How many here understand that? We're going to leave this earthly body. Yep. When we leave this earthly body, how many believe that they'll just go into the ground and then that's it? or how many believe that there's actually a life after death, where there's a spirit and after death. There's a part of me that wished we had some kind of remembrance before we came here on Earth. I think that would make it so much easier, wouldn't you think? If we had some type of remembrance, not, you know, in the heavenly place before we came here on Earth.
But then you wouldn't need faith.
No, you wouldn't need faith.
And that's what you're being tested. Justified by faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gives you a measure of faith, and he wants you to expound upon that faith and grow that faith and trust in him. So that's why I believe he takes away that memory of the former things that were beyond this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that he could say, all right, you know, let's see if I tug at your heartstring, are you going to answer my call? You know, because you can't see it. You can only sense it or feel it with inside.
Mm-hmm.
And not many people can have those senses and say, okay, you know what, God's tugging at my heartstrings, you know, I need to answer that call.
Or even created.
Yep.
God's not even alive or created in your life until you, without faith. You know,
right.
Faith is what creates God in your life in the first place. He doesn't exist until you create him,
right,
through faith.
Well, this was kind of the point that I was leaning towards, in the sense that we're living in an age right now where we've become so knowledgeable and reasonable,
yes, yep,
that we can't concept the spiritual world anymore. Olden days, back in the past, the spiritual world was very real.
Yep.
Especially like through the medieval age. I mean, there was a lot of witches and warlocks, and it just seemed very much more spiritual back in the days of old. And even through the history of the Bible, you read the Bible, it was very spiritual. You had a lot of prophetic. You had the Magi's and Magi's who followed the stars, who then led to the Star of David, and that's where they found the Messiah and all this other stuff. But the bottom line is, today, you don't have it.
No.
You don't have the supernatural. You don't have the spiritual end of the reality of the supernatural. You don't have it. Because of knowledge has ever increased, and reasons of the mind, where let's say you had some kind of poltergeist experience where a spirit did something. Well, there's a reason behind it. There was a draft. Someone turned a fan on. that door didn't open up by itself. The hinges are cocked a little bit, and it's on an angle, and it, you know,
swung open.
Yeah. There's too much reasoning behind the supernatural now, and the supernatural has been lost.
Reasoning destroyed it.
Yeah, reasoning has been destroyed. And I believe that this is a deception in that darkness has developed,
mm-hmm,
to where it can consume the soul and eventually have its way.
Through knowledge. Correct.
And I believe this is where the church or religious bases, because if you look at the church today, it's dying.
Just to back your point, and years ago, the church in Europe was the ones who ruled the countries. The churches were the most powerful things there. The churches, the Catholic Church and the churches ruled the areas. You know, they were almost as powerful as the kings and the queens. So that's been destroyed through knowledge and reason. So, you know, you guys all watch movies, Braveheart and all them. Huge churches were huge. You know, they basically ruled.
Yeah.
Now you're operating in an area where the church itself is, and the spiritual end of it is dead.
Yeah.
There's no need to have spirituality because we can just reason with our thoughts and our minds. And what has been taking place is the church has been creating false doctrines, feel good messages, never really directing to the core root of the wishes of our Creator.
Correct.
The wishes of our Creator is to really divide spirit and soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
To take the soul and diminish it and raise up the spirit. In Christianity, it's raising up Christ. In other denominational religions or what have you, It's raising up love, you know. Yeah. But
it all derives to spirit.
It all derives from
spirits, and we need to be transformed in that spirit. And you know, we've been speaking on this for about a week now. There's nobody speaking about this. They're speaking of like different doctrinal beliefs in the Bible, and there's like people talking about what they did the week before, and they're trying to bring a sermon or something on it. Nobody's speaking about how we're supposed to come into eternal life, you know, by the Spirit. And this is where people are stuck, and people are being duped, and they're going into the eternal realm and experiencing eternal death.
It's like pastors saying
they never transformed.
No,
it's like pastors saying that the churches have no power, and what it's saying is there's no more faith. Don't trust God to create your life. Do it yourself. Do it by your own strength. You know what you're doing. Let's teach you how to do it yourself. You can flex your own muscles. And Jesus said, if you live by your strength, you'll die by your strength. So what's being taught now is do it. You know, do it yourself. Set your goals and do it. Instead of trusting in God and waiting on Him in faith and letting Him open the door, you shove it open, you kick it open, you push it any way you can, manipulation, control, any way you can do it. So they're teaching different, you know, a different strength. Really, it's your strength and not faith.
That's where the world itself is becoming corrupted.
Yep.
Greed is overpowering itself. Is, you know, you have so much corruption, lies,
yes,
and deceit, and manipulation, witchcraft, and everyone is forming their own hatred, and it's just becoming chaos. And they're taking the truth completely out of morals, and there really isn't any more morals left. And the bottom line is that we have to get back to the foundation principles of what God's intent was for mankind. It was to divide soul and spirit, to break away from the soul, diminish it, and raise up the spirit in a sense of power.
Love.
And love. We wouldn't have what we have today, even though that they want to try to bring, I want to call it a false love, where everything is good, everything is great, you know, and yada, yada, yada. But you can't keep that type of love.
It's like you spoke and you said, I love fishing, and I love sports, and I love, and you're loving objects. You know, you're not being loved. You're loving these these objects that are just not going to reciprocate.
There's no agape love involved in it.
No.
It's not an unconditional love.
Like, that's the
like
key
that
right
God
there.
Has Correct. For us. It's a contemporary love. It's temporary. It fades away.
Correct.
You know, it's like you can like fishing for a few years and all of a sudden it's out of your heart.
You could love it. You could love it in the world's love.
Yeah.
Temporary.
And it's temporary. It fades away.
And
God's love is eternal.
And it will let you feel like you're being filled temporarily.
Yeah.
And but, you know, you're going to be hungry. Like he always says, it's like eating Chinese food. You're hungry an hour later. You'll eat till you're stuffed, but an hour later you're hungry, looking for some more satisfaction somewhere else in the world.
True.
And what is transpiring is a tremendous amount of deception.
Yeah.
See, the soul in itself has a form of a function, and that form of function is very conditional. And not only is it conditional, but it's self-centered.
Correct.
Yes.
And if you're trying to bring God's principles of what His intentions were from the very beginning, unity, love, the soul cannot give you unity, and it can't even give you love. Correct. Unless they were benefiting from it.
Exactly right.
What are you going to do for me?
Manipulative love.
What am I going to get out of it? If I get this, then yes, I'll love this. And most of it, you see it in relationships. You see it in anything, really. You see it in anything there is. And what is transpiring is, I want to call it, is the last days. And they say in the last days that many false prophets and apostles are going to...
Teachers, all kinds of stuff.
...are going to rise up, and they're going to deceive, bring deception, and then create their own doctrine to create false apostles. and false prophets to basically give a doctrine of Christ.
Correct. Through self-righteousness.
Through self-righteousness, exactly right. Yeah. Good deeds and stuff like that. If I'm a good person, I'm okay. If I do the right thing, I'm okay. If I, you know, pretend I love or whatever, or really ignore situations, then everything's okay. When the reality of it is, that's not the truth. And no one can bring unity or love or happiness in that condition.
Because that condition puffs you up and edifies self.
Exactly right. And it's just pure knowledge.
That's exactly right.
God's, I believe it's time where the truth needs to be told, and the emotion, the self-centeredness, the conditional, all needs to be laid down. And the only way that this can transpire is if we have an awakening of God or love. Now, I share with my children, you know, as fathers, we should take on that love. You know, just understand that my love for them is unconditional, and I love them deeply. So embrace my love until you get old enough, and then you can exchange my love to God, trusting God with all your heart.
Your love is the example, so they can find the real love later on.
Exactly.
Because they've already been shown, and it'll be easier for them to find it because they've seen real love.
Exactly.
That's why it's hard for people to find real love now, because they haven't been shown conditional love by their parents, by their workplace, by everybody they know. It's all conditional. There is no unconditional love. And when you have someone show that, then later on they'll just fall into it. They'll just be like, there it is.
Exactly right. The next generation. So we're really needing to work on this generation.
Correct.
As far as those with children, even grandparents that are raising up children,
yep,
have to show an unconditional love and an example of the love of God for the children that are coming up in this world. Because listen, I was a victim until God changed my life. I was consumed with the world in the sense of working, you know, and I neglected, you know, the attention that was needed, and realized what I was doing was wrong, and I had to change the way I'm thinking. So if you look at today, we're so caught up with the world itself that we don't even have that moment or that time to spend with the children to show them that love of the Father, the love of God. Because we were talking earlier, and we'll continue to say this, God does not exist, even though he exists, but he don't exist. And listen, there are people in that are in hierarchy positions that realize that this is a major problem, yes, around the world. What do they call it? Fatherless children or whatever, or parentless children or what have you. And this is a major issue, and it's creating, and I truly believe it's like a curse that came in through darkness, and it's creating a generation that's ever increasing in an area of not understanding love.
Right.
Not understanding love. Now, some might disagree with me in some areas, but if they're really honest with themselves,
yeah, that's the
and they really look at the situation, their love is based on condition.
That's right.
It's all conditioned. And, you know, and it's also
entitlement.
Entitlement, that's a good one.
That's a big one now these days.
Yeah, I mean, how could they be shown love if they weren't shown love? It's like asking someone to do something they've never seen or experienced before in their life and saying, just do it. It's impossible. There's no way. You can't. You know, the parents weren't shown by their parents, weren't shown by their parents, and no one's ever seen it until this moment, until God's opening the door now.
Well, you know, that's why God chooses vessels. He needs people like like us and others out there to have that unconditional agape love and to show it to people so they can see him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why Jesus was sent down, so people could see God.
That's a good point.
Correct.
You know? Because he demonstrated the love. He ate with the taxpayers. He ate with the prostitutes.
He didn't judge.
He didn't
there
judge.
There was no judgment.
No judgment
at
all.
God gave his own son, who he loved. He gave his own son, you know, in Christ. He gave his son.
Yep.
And if you were to give one of your children, how would you feel? You know, that's the greatest love, is sacrificing your own child. I mean, I can't imagine,
yes.
You know.
So, you know, that son is the spirit Christ. That dwells within all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have the spirit of Christ. We all have the spirit of God's child. I want to call it child in today's world because, you know, I was speaking to somebody a ways back, I don't know how long ago, but I said the Bible was mostly written for men. Unfortunately, that's just the way it was. It was written for men. So they would say God's son, you know? But
it really is a spirit of adoption
that allows
you to be adopted. Yeah.
But if I can change the translation today,
son and daughter,
I would call it a child.
Yes.
God's child is in each and every person.
Yeah.
And it's the seed of his child in each and every one. And like Pastor Sam was saying, it, you know, it's coming into that adoption. Or, you know, maybe it's even coming back to the prodigal son, you know, or the daughter to go back to the parent that we originally came from.
Yep.
But getting back to this concept of love, you know, my prayer is, God, you raised us up to bring across to the world the fact that you're alive.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, we want to let the world know that you're alive. But at the same time, God has to intervene. You know, we can speak all day long and say, God loves you. But if you don't embrace that love, like, because we can't change the way individuals are today in the sense of that unconditional love that's in them. We can't do it. We would have to open up clinics all over the world to try to help fathers and mothers love their children and not be so caught up in the cares of the burdens of survival. Because it's tough in the world to survive. I mean, you got to wake up every day. You got to somehow manage to pay bills. You got to, you know, manage to just try to bring upkeep and landscaping and the whole nine yards of keeping what you have. And it's very, very burdensome. And where do you have time for children?
Right.
Where do you have time, you know? The only thing that you can do is enroll them in something and make time because you have to take them from somewhere to somewhere. You know, you just can't be with them. You can't just be. And that becomes very difficult. But you can when you understand the concept of God's love, because God will take care of what you're so consumed and worried and burdened from.
Sure.
But in the sense, that's almost an impossible task.
Correct.
Right now, it's an impossible task. My prayer is for God to intervene somehow so that he can pour out his spirit. You see what I mean? Where he can pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Well, the other thing too, Pastor, is, you know, people have to realize if they're in the soul, they can't love.
No, there is impossible
love. All it is self-love. You can't love somebody else. You think you can, but you can't. It might be an emotion, you know. It might be something else, but it's not that true love.
Or it's just verbal on their lips.
It's verbal on their lips.
I love you, but actions speak much louder than that.
Well, that's like a scripture verse that God says, you know, you say you love me, but you love me with your lips, but in your heart you're far from me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was saying earlier. It's all about what's in it for me. I love you, but what's in it for me?
Right.
So that's that earthly love. It's not selfless. It's not giving. What do you need? What can I do for you? I see a need, I fulfill it without even you asking. I'm looking, I'm not so consumed with me, I'm looking at your life. I'm looking at your life and I'm trying to do things without even you asking me. I'm just going to be a loving servant, helpful helper to you.
That's agape.
Yep.
That's the agape love.
Correct.
And this change has to come, but it's not going to come through man.
No, it's impossible.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. It has to come by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Or somehow or another, God touches you in a special way. And you have an enlightenment.
It's that grace that we've been preaching about before, too. It has to be a revelation knowledge that triggers something where you can actually see what we're talking about.
Correct.
Exactly right. And I see glimmers of this already beginning to happen. And my prayer is that there'll be more of an outpouring. I want to see more of an outpouring, that because God is the only one that opens up eyes.
Right.
He's the only one. We cannot open up. I mean, we can beg people, please believe what we're saying. Believe, you know, listen to what we're saying, please. But the reality is, we need an outpouring of God. We need an outpouring of this Spirit to open up the eyes so that this agape love can actually come in.
Well, you know, you're saying about, like, asking God for an outpouring. It also starts with the individual where they need to say, God, please help me to see, because I'm not seeing what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not seeing these examples in my life. So please, God, it starts with humility. For them to cry out and say, God, show me now, please. Mm-hmm. I need to see what you're talking about, mm-hmm. or what you're about to do in this hour.
You're 100% right. That's why I saw a glimpse. I knew a person who I was speaking to just the other day, and that person actually came to a place within their own heart, and they came to a reality of truth.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they said to themselves, I want to change. That in itself.
Go. That's like the cry that they're saying, Abba Father.
Exactly,
you
right.
Know, help me. You know, give me this enlightenment. You know, it's like, show me.
Because what they realized was is they were lacking happiness. Mm. They were lacking joy. And what they wanted to embrace was to be happy.
Correct.
And I want to tell our listeners out there, and those that are here, if we can be honest with ourselves and really come to a place of saying, you know what, I'm not as happy,
that's the
or
beginning.
Joyful
that that's I, the, that's I would the first like to, day. Please help me.
Yeah.
That's the cry that God is listening for.
Yep.
He goes to and fro searching for that broken, contrite heart to say, you know what? I want happiness.
Yep.
I want to become new again.
Yeah.
I truly believe that this is tonight a challenge for those that are listening, those that are hearing us, to say, you know what? I want to make that change. I want a new life. Because I personally believe it starts with a broken, contrite heart. Only God can change the heart. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can open up the blind eyes, the deaf ears. You know, I'm seeing a lot of ministries out there, and they're running towards all these, you know, thinking signs and wonders and miracles and all these other things. But, you know, scriptures, you know, I admire that book. That's the only book that I know that is bears witness of what was given to me, I would say. And in that book, that Bible, in that book, it says, in the last days, the only sign that will be given is the sign of Jonah. And the sign of Jonah all had to do with repentance.
Yep.
Changing the way one is thinking. Not saying I'm sorry. not saying forgive me of my sins, forgive me of my bad works, whatever it might be. It's saying changing the way you're thinking now.
Correct.
Yesterday is gone, never to be remembered. So if you were not a good person yesterday,
doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Forget about it. No one is, you know, looking at it. God is definitely not looking at it. And today is a day of repentance.
Well, it's like this. We're all scumbags because of the soul.
Right? Exactly.
Because
of right.
self. Because we protect self through the
soul.
Yeah,
the soul is deceiving.
It is.
It's wicked.
Yep.
It only loves self.
Only.
The soul is the only one right. The soul only knows what's going on. Everybody else doesn't understand.
Has a false humility about it.
Very false humility. Always me, you know.
Yeah, and it deceives the person thinking that they have humility and they don't because they're putting on this facade.
Yeah, I know an individual very deeply on that. But, you know, having that broken, contrite heart, being able to come before God, even though that they don't know that they're coming before God, but because they're coming to that humility.
Admitting to themselves.
Yeah, knowing that there is something wrong.
Actually telling your soul or yourself, I'm done.
I'm done.
I had enough of this. You know, the Bible says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith.
Yep.
And this is not from yourself. It's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast.
That's it.
That's it right there.
So when we can come humble and say, you know what? I'm not happy.
This ain't working.
This isn't working.
This way of thinking is not working. This selfish way of thinking is not working. It's not working. I got to change the way I'm thinking.
If I keep going down this road, it's only going to lead to destruction.
Correct.
It's not going to get any better.
Correct.
And you know what? We need to cry out for awareness. Say, God, give me awareness to see when this manifests so we can repent and change from this and turn from being selfish.
And I'll tell you what, people out there in the world, you know you're not happy. You might not know a lot of things, but you know one thing, you ain't happy.
Yep.
And you can't lie to yourself. You can lie to everybody in the world, but when you get home and sit home, when you go home by yourself, you're sitting in your room by yourself, you ain't happy. You're looking for that next up, looking for that next high, that next feeling. You're not happy. You're not satisfied. You're not content. You're always looking for that next boom, that next emotional high to keep you going.
Absolutely.
To fill your gas tank for another 10-mile run, and then it's empty again.
Well, this is a way that we can share with our listeners out there to be able to come to happiness. And one of the biggest things is surrender. Kind of like go with the flow. Don't get upset. For example, if all of a sudden something's coming against you, don't look at it as a bad thing. Surrender to it.
It's just a thing.
Embrace it because it's not really coming against you. What's happening is your soul is manifesting. Your soul is manifesting. God, it's like God bringing a correction to you, and the soul doesn't want to take correction. So right away, it wants to defend itself.
Yep.
I know a couple who I spoke to not too long ago who has come into a situation where they had no control over it, and all of a sudden, they might be facing an eviction. The reality is, don't get upset. Go with the flow. Right away, they may be taking things personal. They might think, oh,
what did I do wrong?
This is coming after me. This is coming. It's not coming after you. It's just God moving you on to something better.
Bingo.
It's bringing you to a better place. God leads a righteous person's footsteps, and you might not even know him as well as you might like to. But the bottom line is God loves us first. And this is one of the things that we really have to understand. God loves us first. And he knows what's best for us. And he's always directing our footsteps. Even though we don't know him, he's directing our footsteps. And when we can come to that surrenderness, He's really directing our footsteps. When we can come to that surrender, when we have that broken, contrite heart, and we come to that surrender, God opens up doors that no man can shut. And then God shuts those doors that no man can open. And then what happens is you begin to come into things that you never thought or dreamed of. And then he opens up your door of happiness.
Yep.
He opens up your door of joyfulness. See, there's something inside of you that God knows what makes you happy. But the soul wants to rob your happiness and make everyone think, make you think that everyone, how can I word this so that this way we understand?
He's out to get you, come against you.
It's just trying to rob, make you think that you know what happiness is, and it robs happiness from you. For example, if I had two dishes of ice cream in front of me, one was vanilla and one was chocolate. For one, I judged the chocolate and never thought in any way, shape, or form I would like something that looks like mud. And I always leaned towards the vanilla. It looked nice like milk. I love milk, you know, and it came in, and I, you know, so I'd be like looking at that chocolate and judging it, saying, no, I don't want it. When the reality is, you know, and someone's saying, come on, have this, look, just have some chocolate, you know. No. It's constantly like rebellion on it because there's a judgment there only to protect, because you already made a judgment that that's going to taste like mud or whatever because you painted a picture somehow. When the reality is, if you just took that taste. Now, a lot of times, this is even more of a deception of the soul. That person will take a taste, and they'll automatically be lied to. I don't like this. When the reality is, they really do. They just want to be difficult. They just want to somehow know that they were right.
It's like you just because you were saying that the soul tries to protect the very judgment that you had in the beginning. It's got to reinforce the judgment. It's got to reinforce the judgment of not wanting the chocolate because it looks, you know, wanting the vanilla. It's got to reinforce itself.
And this is the ultimate goal of the soul, to rob, steal,
yep,
kill, and destroy. Now let's say tomorrow the place that we go to only has chocolate ice cream. And if you were honest with yourself, you could deal with it and like it and enjoy it. But because the soul lied, next thing you know, you don't like chocolate ice cream. And you don't have any at all.
So you choose to suffer.
Now you've been robbed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small analogy, but at the same time, it's a reality of truth.
It's almost like punishing yourself.
Yeah, basically, just to prove that you're right or something.
I'll watch you all eat, and I'll just sit here and won't eat because I don't like it.
Exactly right.
Very childish, you know, soulish thinking.
Well, the soul never grows up. Mm-mm. It'll always act immature. It'll always act like a child. The soul will never mature. And there are some people who are very of age who have just never matured. They pout, they cry, they can't get over situations, they're kicking and screaming. Yep. They might not be kicking and screaming on the outside, but they're kicking and screaming on the inside.
Yep.
So the soul never matures. The soul is nothing more than death. Our listeners out there need to really understand the purpose of why we're even here. Why are we here? There's an old saying to say, you know, We're here to die and pay taxes or something, you know. I'm here to pay taxes and die, you know, that's it.
Crazy.
But the bottom line is we're here to literally sacrifice and deny the soul so that the spirit can have life. And not only have life, but everlasting life.
Correct.
And it's very, very difficult for us to receive this concept, especially in today's world where we have so much knowledge and so much reasoning that we can't see the supernatural. We can't embrace the fact that, that there is something living inside of us that is destroying us.
Can't believe it.
You know, you made a point a little couple seconds ago. We're here because we're here to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
The soul cannot worship God. It only worships self.
It's only self-centered, and it's always worships
itself. That's why it will never have eternal life through the soul.
That's where pride comes from.
Pride comes through that. That's why we need to get rid of the soul, come out of it, and be transformed in a spirit, because God says, true worshipers will only worship me in spirit and truth.
That's it.
Not in soul, because soul is nothing but lie and nothing but self.
That's it.
And it will never worship God, so that you can never come into eternal life. Mm-hmm. And that's where worldwide the church right now is suffering. They're being duped because they're not coming out of soul. And that's when he says, hey, be gone, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, because mm-hmm. you were still in the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul still exists and you're attached to it. So you can't worship me. You can't have a place of habitation with God
mm-mm.
when you're in soul.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And what is bleeding in our hearts is this deception. Because yep. I truly believe yep. that there are honest,
yeah,
God-seeking people out there.
Absolutely.
That really want to serve God. But the foundation and the leadership is not bringing them into the truth
right.
to where they can sacrifice the soul. And then they're going to leave this earth and they're going to stand before that judgment and say, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name. And then he's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. You know, the Bible, we've been talking about this now for several weeks. We feel as though that there's a prophetic word out there, and it's about the Laodicean church.
Yep.
And he says, I'd rather have you cold or hot than being lukewarm. And I believe this is where most of the I want to say population of the world, because I truly believe there are some individuals who have a concept of, you know, God in their life. If you talk to most people, they'll say, yeah, I have God in my life. Yeah, I say prayers every once in a while, you know, and I believe that they are somewhat, you know, with God. Then how do you say the degree of warm is?
Right.
Like, where do you come off where the beginning of warm starts and the beginning of warm ends? You know? I mean, either hot or cold. Like, where does this warm begin? You know? Yeah. Maybe an atheist that totally cold. Denies God. You know, maybe God likes the atheist more. Better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm kind of thing.
I'm going to go back to where a lot of people know the story about Adam and Eve. And you know what the devil said to Eve? If God really loves you, wouldn't he or would he? You know, people in this world are suffering in their circumstances, and then the soul's saying to them, if God really loves you, would he keep you here? Would he do this to you? Would he do? And it's questioning the love of God in everybody's heart. And nobody really is experiencing the love of God. Because the devil's crafty. If God really, he said to Eve, if God really loves you, wouldn't he show you? Wouldn't he give you this wisdom? Wouldn't he show you this stuff if he really loves you? A lot of people are questioning if God really loves them in this world. They're questioning that. Is there God? And does he really love me? And that's the question right. they're all asking. They're sitting there, they feel lonely. They're alone. They really are. And that's the devil's ploy. I mean, that's the soul's ploy. He said it to Eve, if God really loves you, he would give you this fruit of that tree so you have knowledge of good and evil, if he really loved you. And that's what he's saying to you every us every day. If he really loves you, why would he put you in a circumstance? Why would, and he didn't, the soul did. And then the soul backs itself up by saying, if God really loves you, would he keep you here? Would he keep taking this? Would he keep doing that? And then it puts a wall between you and God, and it's a bad place to be. That's where most of the world is right now. They have no idea.
Well, you mentioned something that's very important. Darkness is very deceptive.
Yep.
It's been around since the beginning of creation. And it's been even before creation, at the time where the Spirit hovered over the waters. So you have to say to yourself, darkness is very wise.
Yep.
Very smart and very deceptive. Where he says that in the last days, that many will rise up and even deceive the elect.
Yep.
Those that are elect And that's where my heart is crying out as a leader in the church. We're all leaders here. And our hearts are crying out in an area of there are sincere people who are being deceived, not even knowing that they're being deceived, who believe they have a heart after God.
Based on works.
But they're being deceived.
Yep.
You know, we spoke about this 20 years ago. The verse scared the living daylights out of us as far as being leaders and knowing God. And we're saying, God, we don't want to be duped. We don't want to be the elect that's being
exactly
deceived.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And
I remember
God's
that.
Pouring this message out now and saying, the soul is what's duping people.
Correct.
Yeah.
Come out of the soul and come into my spirit.
Yeah.
You know,
I believe he gave us power over the soul.
Yeah.
Because we were just like that. We didn't want to be deceived.
Yep.
So we cried out for our eyes to be opened.
We did.
Yep. Now our eyes are opened, and now we have this under our feet.
Yep.
We have it under our feet.
We have power of soul, because he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So we have power over the soul if we realize it.
Yeah.
And so because we have overcame and we've put this deception under our feet, we're here now to help. Help those to be able to hear the truth and be guided and directed properly so that they don't have to be deceived.
Correct.
Right.
Anymore.
Would it be the worst ever to think that you've done all the right things and then make it to that day of judgment where God himself says, get away from me, I never knew you, worker of iniquity?
It would be horrible.
That would be devastating.
Yeah.
But didn't I raise the sick in your name and heal the sick in your name, raise the dead in your name? Deliver in your name, but be gone, I never knew you. So you did all these works that were just vanity.
Exactly right.
Because the soul was involved.
Because the soul was deception.
Correct.
Darkness was involved with the soul.
Yeah.
And we know how to bring the sword to divide soul and spirit. We know how to bring and deliver because of the discernment that God has given us. We know how to discern soul and spirit.
You used to say a long time ago, Pastor used to say this, in everything you do, think about this. Who's being edified?
Mm-hmm.
Who's being lifted up? Is it you or is it God? And that's the big test you should ask yourself every time you do something. Is it for you or is it for God?
Right.
Because, you know, I know some people, you know, you want to give somebody a blessing, give them a blessing anonymously. Don't sign your name to the bottom of the check. Just give them cash and see you later and watch. You'll see is it really you being edified or you want God to be edified, you know?
It's a good point, Sam, because, you know, as an individual, the soul wants to be glorified.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
If you're living in by the Spirit, you want to glorify God.
That's
you
it.
Don't want any glory except
exactly.
that God glorify you.
And you want them to glorify God.
Correct.
You don't want to take their glory and take it from God. You want them to glorify God.
Exactly.
So you just do it. You let God be the God, and you don't be the God.
Correct. Correct. There's no glory in it except, you know, like what Jesus said, God, glorify me so that I can glorify
Amen.
You.
Amen.
It wasn't anything about, hey, just glorify me. You know, he wasn't asking everybody, hey, come back and worship me. He never said worship me.
Jesus,
he said worship the Father.
Jesus said, everything I do what the Father tells me to do.
Yep.
Everything I say what the Father tells me to say. I say nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. Everything I say and do is what the Father tells me to say and do. I do nothing of myself. That's
Correct.
Where Jesus was. That's why he was the first one.
Yeah.
And you're exactly right. And he also said, aren't we all gods?
Mm-hmm. He did say that.
And what he was doing was he was introducing the souls.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
We are all souls.
Correct.
Yep.
And souls are gods.
Yep.
Yep.
They're an individual god which want to just be worshipped.
Correct.
And they'll manipulate and make you think that you've done something wrong so that you come back and worship them.
Yep.
True.
You give them favor so that you can earn their love.
And you keep feeding the soul and empowering the soul. And you're building the soul, not building your spirit. And you're creating death.
Exactly right.
Yep.
So with that being said, we have the red light.
Oh.
We have to end our session.
This is getting too quick.
And so I'm asking those that are listening to please log on and allow us to help bring the sword, to divide the soul and the spirit, so that you're not deceived.
Correct.
And that you can live in happiness. You can live in a life of everlasting life. Not only in life, but everlasting life. You'll have a life here on earth, and then fulfill that life. And then when you move on from this earth, you'll have an eternal life to be fulfilled. My heart bleeds. I would not want anyone to be duped.
Yep.
They have a heart. They really mean well. There are people out there that really, really, really sincerely feel that they're going to be okay.
Correct.
And that hurts me so bad. And I'm at the point of, I don't know what to do. Hey, should I rebuke them and tell them they're going to go to hell?
There's a lot of leaders out there that think they're okay. But if you hear what they speak, it's about self.
Yeah.
Their messages are glorifying themselves and not glorifying God.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many baptisms I did today. How many of this I did today.
Look how many souls I saved.
Yeah, souls they saved.
They, mm-hmm. souls.
They saved the souls, exactly right. They're not saving the spirit. Hello.
Yep.
So, for those that are listening.
They have a soul count. They have a count of souls.
We've seen that in ministries.
So, those that are listening, I'm grateful. Keep listening. Those that are here and committed to the ministry, I bless you. And I challenge you to continue to follow the truth that we have so that you can have a life. You know, when blessings come into your life, I love it. You know,
glorify God.
You'll get a lot of direction. If you want direction from us, you'll get a lot of direction. But I'm guaranteeing the soul will say, no way, I can't do that.
The truth that we speak.
The soul will say, you don't understand.
Correct.
Right.
I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah. You don't understand. No way. Thank you, but you just don't understand.
The truth that we speak will create God in your life.
A life.
Living God.
Yep.
It'll create a life.
Eternally. Exactly right.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.